الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah has blessed us with this honorable month, and the fasting in the month which Allah Ta'ala has prescribed for us, this is also a great favor of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and fortunate are those who take it as a favor of Allah Ta'ala. That deen, religion, in no way that we take it like a burden or like duties, but like a great gift from Allah Ta'ala. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Allah says, my special ni'mat I have completed for you. So a special favor of Allah Ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala, wa radhitu lakum al-islama deena. So this deen of Islam is a special favor of Allah Ta'ala, and this is also part of our islah, that we work towards that, that it comes into us, that we realize every command of Allah Ta'ala is a great favor and boon for us. And we should also take out time sometime. One friend of us asked a good pertinent question, that making shukr to Allah, if we will start for every ni'mat of Allah, and they are unlimited, but what we know, which is very little, hardly 1% of Allah's ni'mats we know about. But if we start naming one ni'mat, we won't get finished. Then when will we do other things? So it is, we take out some time to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And in that time that we make the shukr, generally for all the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. And if something comes to mind, something particular, make for that also shukr. There are so many things that we have to make shukr, so a few things. But if we just have to say for this also, for this also, for this also, the list will never get finished. Allah's ni'mats are unlimited. So this also, we should in that also sometimes we make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that He blessed us with the ni'mat of Islam, ni'mat of Quran, ni'mat of namaz. All this, in this way, our love for these things will also build. And the reality of it also will come. Then we won't regard salat as a duty, but as a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Like, for example, making wudu when the conditions are difficult. On a cold day, to make wudu with cold water is difficult. But then so much basharat for it. That on the time of difficulty, a person who makes his wuzu is baqi wuzu, proper wuzu. The basharat is also so great. When it is a rainy, gloomy, a cold night, and then to go for Isha namaz. It comes in the hadith, give those people glad tidings of full light on the day of Qiyamah, on full sirat. So this is that we in the time. So these are, if we regard it as ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, and when they appear to be difficult, they become even more easy. Just for us to see, from our elders, we get so much to learn. Hazrat Maulana Siddiq Bandwi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was with Maulana Khalil Ahmed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Hajj. So on one night it rained so much that the street in front of them had actually become a river. So much water, it just rained. And sometimes floods take place in Makkah Sharif, sometimes the whole Mataf also gets flooded. And Ajib Allah's Bandas, they swim and they make the Tawaf also, but the Tawaf carries on there all the time. So anyway, when it was raining so much, and in Sharia, there is permission on such occasions, you can make your namaz at home. So he was sure that Maulana will say, today we'll make namaz at home. But as soon as they heard the adhan or the time for namaz came, he got prepared. And he told Maulana, let us go now and take some water also with us, because our feet will get messed with all the mud and everything. Then before we enter the Haram Sharif, we will wash our legs. And together with that, umbrella also. So they started walking, and when that water which was flowing like a river, and Maulana Siddiq Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, says, when we came in the water, it was like bullets were hitting our legs. The stones that the waters were such a flow, it was going, picking up the stones, and that also like bullets hitting their legs. So when they came about middle, then he fell down, or about to fall. So he thought, now Maulana will say, we rather go back. But Maulana held him. And they got the umbrella in one hand, the sandals in one hand, which they took off, they were walking bare feet, and the water also they were carrying. And they carried on till they came to the haram, and then they washed their legs there, and they went in and made namaz. So on such times, they are great basharat for that. If we get such an occasion, may Allah give us tawfiq to make the himmat. Otherwise, very strongly, the family will say also, make namaz at home. Shariat also has given you permission. On a night like this, you don't have to go. You can make your namaz at home. But also, if we think everyone is going to make his namaz at home, then who will be in the masjid? And quite naturally, on such occasion, in the masjid, there will be few people. So if you are amongst those few, imagine how much of Allah's rahmat comes down upon them. Remind me again, Muhammad. One occasion, there was a very good worker in Jamaat who was in Madinatul Munawwara, very close to Maulana Saeed Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he asked Hazratji Maulana Inam al-Hasan Sahib that before, few brothers should go in Jamaat. But when they came, with lot of kayfiyat. They were ajeeb, crying, and life changed, everything was different. He says, now plenty are going, but we don't see that. Kayfiyat. So he says, like Allah Ta'ala, Allah is above everything, and Allah is not short of anything. But Allah has got his system, the rahmat Allah puts down. He says, a few were getting that. So they got a big share. And now there were plenty, so everyone's share is now proportionate to that, it becomes smaller. Of course, Allah wants to give, He gives who He wants to and how much He wants to give. But the system of Allah, which the Arifin know, what we know in that system of Allah Ta'ala. So like that, when we come to the masjid or any occasion, also like it is said, when you go in for jihad, and conditions became difficult, and others ran away, those who stick firm at that time, their rewards are also so much more greater. Because first, all were sharing that. The others went away. Now few are getting more bigger share. So on such occasions, Allah, we must make dua that Allah gives us the tawfiq to be there. So to come to the masjid for such. So these are all those great ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. So deen, and when these conditions become a bit difficult, it's a more bigger ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But for us, we have to train ourselves. And this is what is called that islah, this training, that we learn it, so that it is a ni'mat. So we should take out some time, and Ya Allah, the command of five times namaz you gave us, you gave us the command, not as faraz, but also as nafal. Our tahajjud namaz, you gave us tahajjud namaz, tilawat of Quran Sharif you gave us, roza, what a big ni'mat you gave us. So speak of these things as ni'mat, then it will come into us that these are great, great favors and boons of Allah Ta'ala. And at least if we don't speak to ourselves, and we know the influence of everyone around. And today many of us, unwillingly also, we have to mix with non-Muslims also, and they also know we're fasting, and they also think it's a big, like we're taking it as a burden. And if sometimes we tell them, already so many days, we are so sad, so many days are only left now, they get a shock that it was like a burden on you. That how somehow you managed to keep so many rozas. Our five times namaz, alhamdulillah, we manage without difficulty with all our other work. But for them, how can you pray five times a day? They who go once a week to church. And that also, very few of them go to church once a week. And yeah, you are praying five times a day, they can't understand it. But for us, it's easy. So in our circles also, we know out there are many people who find it that they are just too happy, half Ramzan is gone. Only another half. We manage this half, we manage. Like it's a difficulty, like it's a burden. And it is. Allah made it a mujahada. But we should try and bring us to that level that we take it as a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And everything, for example, which every Muslim hopefully will understand, Allah made alcohol haram. What a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Not that we have been deprived. Especially any person, some people were saying that like smoking, today most governments have banned it in public places and all that because it causes harm to the other person. So a Muslim person said, why don't they ban alcohol also? So they said that it doesn't harm somebody else. It only harms you, the one who consumes alcohol. So he said, just go and stand at the casualty, at the emergency ward of hospitals. Especially like Christmas time, New Year's Eve, all this. And you'll see that how much alcohol harms other people. How many other people, accidents which take place when a person is under the influence of alcohol. So Allah made that haram for us. What a great ni'mat Allah made it haram. Drugs are also haram. Unfortunately, Muslims also get involved. All these things, illicit love affairs are totally haram. And that also, how a lot of destruction it brings. There's no goodness whatsoever. Shaitan only beautifies it. At that time also it's ugly, it's dirty, it's filthy. But Shaitan makes it look beautiful. And we get trapped with Shaitan. And we think that this relationship is enjoyable now or something. But afterwards, then Shaitan takes away that beauty, that what he beautified for us. And when you see it then, you hate yourself also. And you, those occasions also, that how? So Islam, Allah Ta'ala has given us a perfect way, the natural lifestyle. Today, unfortunately, our children also feel Islam is like an unnatural way. Because the way of the kuffar has over, because we are not making our deen alive. Not in ourselves, not in our homes is deen alive. So it doesn't come in our community. And there is the system of Allah Ta'ala also. No vacuum exists anywhere. When the good goes out, Allah puts the bad in there. This is a system of Allah Ta'ala. For example, just remind me there also. This, in some countries, perhaps many, perhaps all, especially civil servants in Muslim countries also are not allowed to keep beard. So this didn't come about just like this that they made it. And we bring the conditions upon ourselves. For example, in one country, one Colonel Amiruddin, Rahmatullah Alayhi, great Jamaat worker, he went to this country and he made namaz there. And the firat of the qaris in that country, everyone is a qari in that country. This by nature, Allah Ta'ala has given them the Quran Sharif. So he read very beautiful Quran Sharif. And naturally, he was impressed with the Quran Sharif also, the recital. But more he was impressed that this qari sir had a full beard, this imam. So after namaz, and those imams have a room. Next with the masjid, if somebody wants to meet them, then they meet them there, discuss something, make mashura, etc. So he went there to meet the imam. So he said, I wanted to meet the imam. So he said, I'm the imam. So he says, no, the imam who made the zuhr namaz now. He says, I made the imam who made the zuhr namaz. Say, the imam with the full beard that he had. Then he showed a wig hanging there. And then he became very, very angry. And people with this iman, they can't tolerate this. But this is when this we did it ourselves, then the laws get made like that also. And so we bring it upon ourselves. As a punishment, Allah puts that laws then in the ruler's heart, etc. A'malukum, ummalukum. Your actions are your government, is your government. What our actions are, laws also come like that. So in all these things, these are all the great favors of Allah. But when we change, we don't practice it anymore. Then Allah brings another thing in its place. If we are not reading Quran Sharif in our homes, there is no Salat in our homes, be sure a TV will come in that home. Even if it isn't there, it will come in there. And when the TV is there, start with Tilawat. Start with Namaz, Zikrullah. The first stage you will see, nobody is putting the TV on. Next page you will see, when we're not using it, why keep it? And then you will get rid of it. So this is the correct approach also, especially in our times now. It's not by force, and by people's mind is not made, and you force them. Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said in Madinatul Munawwara, he told the police and them, where at one time smoking in public was totally not allowed, and they wouldn't allow them. And there was also that time when shops were closed the mass time. If not, then that special police, one branch of them, they should make sure shops closed. He said this approach of yours is going to bring the complete opposite effect. And today we see it is there. That just by force you want to enforce something. And the people's mizaj and tabiat is something completely different. So you are just on the top, you are just putting a lid on there. And as soon as they get a chance, it's going to fix up the thing what is inside. Eh? And when you fix up, then even if the lid is, only good will come out. Eh? When there is evil in there and you're just controlling it with your cork, you are with the top, or the lid, you are controlling it. Even our children. And we find this, unfortunately, the children's nature is towards Western way of life, modern way of life, and we're just forcing them with something, and we're not making an effort to change that nature. So the minute they're going to get a chance, they're going to go in that way. And we hear these things, unfortunately, happening regularly. Children, and you get shocked, young girls, they're just packing their bag, I'm leaving the house. Where is she going? A young girl, how dangerous, where is she going? So we can just, by force, we can control it from on top. And that time of by force is also in Islam. And it is there also. But that is when that mizaj is made. When the mizaj is made, then there will be elements who will still do wrong. And this force is to eliminate those elements that they don't have a worse effect. But today, unfortunately, when we are not making this effort of deen at all in our houses, at the most, it's a little bit Islamic environment, little, we got some frames and that, and the frames doesn't make a Muslim home. The rest of the home is the opposite of Islam. The whole, the child also grows up that this way of life, the whole home, which is the Western way of life, it's furnished also in a Western way. Everything is Western. The most, perhaps, in our home is just that we've got a few frames. Allah, Muhammad, Ayatul Kursi, Asmaul Husna, and that doesn't make it a Muslim home. That we also just have got it. If we are putting it, it should be to remind us and to read this. How much do we read Ayatul Kursi, though it's there? How much do we read the Asmaul Husna, though it's there? And the barakat of it is when we read it. That is when the barakat is. Not just hanging it up. Perhaps I don't know, but if we check in the kitabs of hadith, etc., lives of the Sahaba, did they have all this written, all frames in the house and all that? Most probably, I think we won't find this written like that there. And if it is put somewhere, like in the wuzu khana, we put the dua. But that also is not for the wuzu khana to read the dua, to remind us, are we reading those duas? Though they are right in front of us, how many of us really read them also? So all this is to bring, just as a reminder, if we put it, it's all right, if we are reading it. Like we put the dua, when leaving the house, you have it by the door. So that isn't like to decorate the door. It's just to remind you. So if it is for that purpose, it's all right. And then we should be reading it also. And just like dua is more better, which is made softly. The imam makes dua, softly is better. One of the arguments people have, then by when the imam makes dua, the people learn the dua. But you see, 50 years have passed, generations have passed, but they haven't learned the dua. So this also should be to learn. And thereby the dua also we put it for learning. And when we know it, then it shouldn't be there now. Now read it. Everyone should be. Deen is a practical thing in our lives. Anyway, so all this, deen is a great ni'mat of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. And we should look at it and build ourselves that we look at it as a great favor of Allah ta'ala. To take out zakat, we should take it as a ni'mat. And one of the signs of qiyamah will be when we will take it like a burden, like a tax it is on us. Actually, we should take it out happily, voluntarily, and give a little bit more also, and what happiness we should take out. And a person, as it comes, who hasn't got zakat is not liable on him. But during the month of Ramadan, he should also take out something and give away as charity. A little bit even. This helps tremendously to purify oneself. Giving in the path of Allah is a great means of tazkiyah also. And that also Allah has put into the month of Ramadan. Normally, though not necessarily, but normally people give their zakat in the month of Ramadan. People give their lillah in the month of Ramadan. This also, this year, what's the ayat? That you spend in the path, that it will be tahurul, that's a dua. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ. The sadaqah, the giving of zakat and charity is to make your tazkiyah, it purifies you. So this is also, and one thing which is quite glaring, it purifies us of miserliness, stinginess, that you take out, and who take out happily and you give it happily, the rewards are much more greater. And you take it with a heart. At the beginning it may be hard, but force yourself. It will come at a time when it will become easy. And Allah's promise is, and when we hear our Buzurg speak on this, how they speak, with what conviction, you give, Allah will give you tenfold more. Allah will give you 700 times more. Allah will give you more. So more we must open our hearts and we must give. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this great ni'mat of Islam, and every injunction is also a great, great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. If we just think of La ilaha illallah is the key of Jannat. What a great ni'mat that Allah gave us, the ni'mat of Allah gave us the keys of Jannat in this world. How much shouldn't we appreciate it? And appreciating it and looking after it is to repeat it and to bring the reality. As we are reading also, to bring the reality. And if Tawheed comes in a person, what a maqam that person has got. That the whole world together can't do anything to that person. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the Tawheed he had. And the Tawheed, Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, the forces of the world were against him. But he just flourished and just carried on. And in this process, what we also have to understand, that test will come. We ask for Allah for afiyat, that everything must go well. But Allah Ta'ala's system is that He will test. And if you remain firm at that time also, then Allah opens the doors. A student studying the whole year, end of the year exams, now he feels this is too hard for me and I can't take the exams. He doesn't write the exam. How will he pass? How will he go to the higher class? How will he graduate? And during those exam days, he's going to stay awake till 1, 2 o'clock at night also. One student in Dioban, long before us, he studied so much, he said after that for 1 week he slept continuously. Only namaz time he got up and perhaps he would eat something. But the rest of the time, he was covering up his sleep for 1 week. 1 week he slept. So that mujahada, you have to go through. And then it comes. But Allah Ta'ala, we are very, very weak. We ask Allah Ta'ala that even the test, He saves us and gives us without. And Allah does that also. People are given honorary degrees also. They don't know anything of that subject, but that university gives them an honorary degree. So Allah Ta'ala is very, very great and merciful. So this is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And for what we are gathered here, for our Islah, to improve ourselves, this is also part of it, that we make ourselves come to that every injunction of deen is a great ni'mat. And then to bring it in ourselves will become easy. To bring it in our families, and we make our families also to understand that deen is a ni'mat, it's not a restriction. Otherwise, it has the complete opposite effect. And it's very, very necessary in this time. Some years ago, in one nearby town, some sweet which was haram, it had haram ingredients. But the children like it. So the mother said, no, it's haram. Islam has made it haram. The small child, you know, with her innocent mind said, in that case, I'll give up Islam. But the sweet I want. Allah save us all, protect us. It is that environment we are building in the home, that we make the children understand. And whatever Allah has made haram for us, it's not like on the Jews as punishment things were made haram upon them. For us, what is made haram are things which are harmful for us. All those things which are harmful, like liquor, in whichever form it will come in, any food stuff, it's going to have that effect, a small effect, but it will have an effect on a person. Drugs, which are so harmful, and in the same way, pork, which is so harmful, even if today they bring up the pork, the pigs and that in very hygienic conditions, but it is filth and dirt. So Allah made that haram for us. What was clean and good, Allah has made that halal for us. And in that light also, inshallah, it will help us. Qurbani time is also coming, and even like that for slaughtering. The Islamic way of slaughter, there is no better way in the world than the Islamic way of slaughtering. And that slaughtering, though today we are made to think also, it is inhuman, that how you slaughter the animal, but that is the most perfect and the most best way. And the worst way, there are many bad ways, terrible ways, how people, cultures, different cultures, how they chop the head off, etc. Or the stunning is extremely brutal. But just because it is covered up, you don't see. If we didn't sleep for a long time, for whatever reason, our brains don't function. Like that, our stunning makes it worse than that. That brains are totally obliterated. They don't work anymore. And a person in that condition, that your brains are not functioning and you are still alive, how you feel? So the slaughtering, the Shariat requires that the blood vein, the jugular vein, that must be cut. The windpipe must be cut, and the two other veins which carry the blood, the veins, one of them at least, all four must be cut. That is the best. And it is also you slaughter the throat, not the neck. We slaughter the throat, and all these are right here. And just like today. For example, dentists, etc., we should feel the pain of the injection. Now they put a gel for that also. So you don't even really feel the needle even just going in. That also they have taken away. So as soon as you cut here, the nerves which carry pain, they are cut. So the brain doesn't feel pain now. And this was done, and when we had the opportunity of going to Germany and to Bonn, the university town of Germany, we spoke about this a little. They told us much more about it. And they told those experiments were made there at the universities. They put electrodes on the head, the cells of the head, to measure pain. And they found that in the Islamic system of slaughtering, there is hardly pain. It's very little. We see that animal kicking its legs, etc. We'll explain that just now why that happens. But hardly any pain. And then all these, what we have to slaughter, Allah has put them right here. So they get slaughtered. When they get slaughtered, now the blood, which is life, blood is life. It stops going to the brain now. But the brain is still alive. So the brain sends a message to, and therefore we are not allowed, and it's makruh. That you cut off the whole head. Sometimes the chicken, if your hand is heavy and you are not careful, the whole head also, the whole neck gets cut off also. But we should avoid that totally. Because now the nerves which run at the back, they are sending a message to the heart that I'm not getting blood and I need blood. So the heart pumps more and this blood then keeps on coming. It sends a message to the whole body. That is when it now kicks its legs to push blood to the central government, to the brains. The brains need blood, and we are all the workers. The hands, the legs, the wings of the chicken, and then its wings hits like this. Its legs, its breath, all to send more blood. And in this process, what happens? All the blood goes out of the body. And the most healthiest, most delicious meat to eat is that in which no blood is left. On the other hand, with the stunning system, where they stun the animal, all the blood practically gets left in. And that is the most unhealthiest. And all this new diseases we are hearing about and what which are coming about, all is a result of this. So Islamic system in everything is the perfect system. And the best way it is. And we were surprised. Qurbani we do here also, Qurbani time. And the inspectors come and check also. So they said that they're going to legislate soon that even if you slaughter, you can slaughter first, but you must stun afterwards. It doesn't even, there's no logic in that also. That after you have slaughtered the animal, why must you stun the animal? But they say they're going to make stunning compulsory. And it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And this is a thing which not only we as Muslims have to know and realize, but many non-Muslims, the ZCC people, they also look many places for halal. And many of the old Afrikaner people, they also just slaughter in that system and they say this is the best system. And they don't subscribe to the other systems. Allah has given us that and the perfect way. So this month of Ramadan also, Allah Ta'ala, whatever He has prescribed for us, is just the perfect thing. And we have to make our Islah and train ourselves to understand it as a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. In that we had discussed of all the other things, that the controlling of the tongue is also a great ni'mat. And we know, I'm sure perhaps each one of us, we at some time or the other, some of us many times, we say things and then we are sorry of it. Now if we had trained ourselves and we did not say those things, if we train ourselves and we learn to speak correctly and we say the right things on the right occasion, mardum shunas, see who you are speaking, mauka shunas, the occasion that you see and the words that you use, these are all very, very important. You can't speak the same thing with everyone. You have to choose your words. Like a mother-in-law, the daughter-in-law is, for example, wasting ghee. He is expensive, made from butter. Now she can't tell the daughter-in-law, then she reprimands her daughter. It's her daughter, and she will understand. So she shouts her, that you're wasting so much of ghee and that every time. So in a way, she gets the message also across. So all these things, when to say it, in front of who to say it, how to say it, we have to learn this. Otherwise, many times, we say, one person taught us, that to do the right thing the right way. Sometimes we do the right thing, but we do it the wrong way. The example he gave, that in those days, your horse got stolen. You realize who stole it? Somebody in the neighborhood, somebody in the town. Now you went 1 o'clock at night to go and bring your horse back. So you are like stealing it also. You got caught and a case was made against you. Trespassing. You went into somebody else's property. You went in, sort of steal that. So it's your horse. Do it the right way. Report it to the police. I know my horse is here. Go there. Find it with the police and you recover it. But you do it the wrong way. You went and bring it back yourself. So all these things, we have to learn how to speak also. Then together with that, the eyes. If our eyes are used in the right way, we look at our parents, hawlat sawab. And Kaaba Sharif, if you are in the haram, and you are just sitting and just looking at the haram, the sawlat sawab for that also. You're not making namaz, you're not making tilawat, you're not making tawaf. The tawaf is the most sawab, but you are not doing, you're just looking, there is a sawab promised for that also. So you use your eyes in the right way. And you use it in the wrong way, then we know the problem. So the eye, then the usage of the eye which Allah has given us is also a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. And also if you go and see, Allah gave us our eyes. Nobody can claim that I made the eyes. No optometrist can claim that I make eyes. Nobody can claim it. It is only by Allah Ta'ala. If we say we fathered the child or something, how much? For that few seconds, that little Allah Ta'ala made just as the means. How can that make eyes, make brains? What can we do? We do absolutely nothing. It is Allah's system that is working. And also a fascinating and strange system of Allah Ta'ala works. يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ Allah Ta'ala creates you. Allah says, and فَيَلْ مَعْضِ Allah continuously is creating people. And according to World Health Organization, which about 250,000 babies a day are born. The figures change from time to time. At one time it was 300, whatever it is. But how many children in the world they are being made, and all in the womb of the mother. And Allah says, he, nobody till today has claimed responsibility. No atheist can say we make children. They will say they came from a monkey. All those funny things they will say. But Allah, over and over, Allah has taken responsibility. Also, we know that whenever something happens somewhere, then some group says we did it. They take responsibility for the making of a child. Only Allah has taken only Allah has made announcements that I make the child. يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاءِ خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ. And that also, what a system of Allah Ta'ala. And one university, a non-Muslim of Canada, a doctor, gynecologist, and who everything they know about how the child is formed and all the studies, he wrote a book. And he, at the end of the book, he wrote there that if there is any information of the formation of a child, but not from medical resources, because that we have got all, and I've presented it here in my book, but from any other source, they should write to me. So a Malaysian doctor wrote back to him, and he wrote how many ayats of the Quran Sharif, that how Allah Ta'ala makes the child one stage to the next stage to the next stage. And he found that 100% it is exactly as the Quran Sharif has stated. And in fact, his latest research also has proven that alaq, which the Quran Sharif speaks about, like a hanger. And he has shown it that exactly when you go into more detail, and you go and you look at it with more stronger microscopes, you see it is like a hanger, and it's doing the work, how that sperm is moving, exactly the three stages, the words the Quran Sharif has used, exactly like that. More and more. And his books are taught at university also, many universities, till today. These are all the great ni'mats of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that how Allah ta'ala has created insan, how he has made insan. What was this?
You're speaking of the vacuum.
Yeah. So anyway, so Allah ta'ala doesn't leave a vacuum when we don't bring these things. And this is not brought in our homes, in our circles. Automatically, the TV comes in. Automatically, Western way of life, which is dominating our homes today. Even if it is the home of a Maulana, even if it is the home of a Sufi, of a Tablighi. But generally, the home environment is a complete, almost Western environment. Just perhaps with one, two frames there, with Allah, Muhammad and that. But besides that, it is, if we walk into a Muslim home, into a non-Muslim home, I don't think we'll see any difference. And we get our cue also from their magazines. All the time we are looking at their magazines. Now we might be Googling it, all this interior decorating and all those things. We take it from them. So what are we going to get from them? And before, our architects were also non-Muslims. Now architects are Muslims, but they also studied that. So just like with our school teachers, girls who are becoming now a lot, they are taking on teaching courses. So they are getting everything from there. That's psychology, and that is what they're going to pass. But what we need is from Quran and Hadith, and to bring that environment alive. So Allah Ta'ala make it that also we bring into our lives. So further, what we have to train ourselves, our tongue to learn to control it while we are here. Our eyes to control them while we are here. And for this, as the Roza teaches us fasting, Saum teaches us that we stay away from permissible things, and then you will get taqwa. All these things which are permissible, but you stay away them for a certain time, and you will get taqwa. So the same way, permissible things that we can see, we also try and control now. Even permissible things. Only what is, what we have to look at, we look at that. Look at Quran Sharif, read Quran Sharif. Also while we are here, try our best that we read Quran Sharif from the Mus'haf. From the Quran Sharif, not from the phone. though it is permissible, but read it from the Quran Sharif. So all these things, then inshallah, if our eyes can come under control, what a great ni'mah. Together with that, one other great thing also is the ear. The ear also, what to look at is haram, to touch also is haram. Like, for example, your grown up brothers, the sitter, to look at it is haram, to touch it is also haram. What is haram to touch is haram to look at also. And what is haram to look at is haram to touch also. And what is haram to speak is haram to hear also. So whatever is haram to speak, to hear those things is also haram. So backbiting, if you're not talking a word, you're only listening, you are an accomplice, you're equal, the guna is on you also. So this also is the haram. The ears, they don't have a cover. And things just go into the ear. We find man of iron, man of iman, not man of steel and iron. Steel and iron, what is it in front of iman? Iman. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he conquered Khaybar, one man, Allahu Akbar, what was all that steel and the steel doors of all them? One man of iman, and the whole fort he conquered, one man. So, a man of iman, the steel and that means nothing to them. So, man of iman, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, walking in the bazaar places, hears music, and he puts his, closes his ears. And then he asks his khadim, that now is that sound gone? These people were so particular about these things. We just take it, well, we can't help it. We went to a shopping mall, music is playing. Who of us will have today the courage that you go and put your hands and you close your ears and that you don't listen? Or today we voluntarily on our cell phone, we bring this music. And to such an extent, one ustad of ours told us that they were in Madinatul Munawwara, Haram Sharif. It was most probably one of the silent namazes, asar or something, and one person standing close to the imam. And he had his phone, and nobody there, the phone is so common, unfortunately. And while namaz was carrying on, and his phone rang musical tone, and those mics are so powerful, the mic picked it up. And the mic now, music was playing on the mic of the imam in the whole masjid, and those mics are outside the masjid also. People screamed and said, what is happening right here in Medina? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam announced and said, I have come to break musical instruments. And now music playing right on the from the imam's mic. And music is playing right there. So we are fast asleep. The enemy, though they not allowed to come, in the Haramain, but from outside they put all their agents and they put all their iblis in there. And this is carrying on there. We also, with our phones, every time we're listening to music, it is narrated that music that a person listens to, it makes nifaq, hypocrisy come into the heart more faster than a plant that grows in the desert, and seldom it rains. When it rains, that plant grows up to 3-4 meters in one night. More faster than that, music, when a person listens to it, brings hypocrisy into the heart. And nifaq amali, by action, amal nifaq, ulama say it's common today. That we believe, that I'm not believing, but I say I believe, may Allah save us from that. But our nifaq, we say namaz is 5 times for us, but we don't make namaz fast 5 times. We say this is haram, but we're still doing those haram. Our actions are totally opposite of what we believe. What we say, but our actions are totally opposite. So all this, the ear also. So here also, while we are at least in i'tikaf, learn to control our hearing also. And that is from the phone also, as much as we can. I'tikaf means seclusion. And now we have come to a restricted place, the masjid. But we are in contact with the whole world. With the phone, you are in contact with the whole world. So which i'tikaf is that? I'tikaf means you go to the masjid, you seclude yourself. Now, no more your business, though. Masalas are different. We're not talking at that level. Now you leave your business alone. You leave your home alone. Everything. You are now in a secluded place of the masjid. But with your phone, you have got access everywhere. And everyone has got access to you. Without a phone, even if you're not in i'tikaf, you are limited. Your access to all things. But with the phone, even if you get your own little tent, and you are there alone, but you've got your phone, you have got access to everyone, everywhere in the world. So if we really want the spirit of that i'tikaf and what it's supposed to bring into us, let us not use the phone. Switch it off. Give it into the office. Let us not have it with us to get that spirit. Otherwise, this hearing all the time, whether it is this music we're going to hear, whether backbiting and gossiping we're going to hear, la yani, idle talk, in which there is no benefit which we are going to hear. All these things, they are going to harm us. And the object, and then we wonder that how come our Islah is still not made. I spend how many times chilla already, but my Islah is not made. We didn't do it in the proper way. So Allah give me also first and foremost tawfiq. All of us, Allah give us tawfiq that we can spend our time correctly and that we observe what we have to, and then we will see the fruit of it. So the ears are also something that we have to learn to control. They are open. Any sound just goes in easily, but we have to learn to control. And at the same time also we must see the ear also is a great ni'mat of Allah to be able to hear. What a great ni'mat. And also it is a great amanat also. And it also shows the great qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. If you turn your head sideways, you'll see it is exactly like a funnel. And the ear, and then the narrow passage there. How it gathers the sounds from how many degrees, the details of it. How it brings, and like a funnel. It's got a big mouth, and then a thin funnel into the bottle. And you can pour easily, and it goes there. How it collects everything from every side. And then it goes into there, and from there to the brain, how it goes, how it is deciphered, how it is, a person is talking, and it goes in there, and Allah, but the qudrat of Allah also. Gain the ma'rifat of Allah also. And see, it's a ni'mat also. It's an amanat also. And it is a thing that we have to control also. Very much we must control it. The wrong things must not go in there. May Allah give us tawfiq, and we understand this, and we all are in need of it, and Allah Ta'ala make our Islah fully Islah, fully Islah, fully and totally, and with which there will be ma'rifat, muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. A person's life is just what a great ni'mat. Then we'll realize this Islam has come to make our lives in this world lives of Jannat here already. And there is absolutely no exaggeration and nothing more. If we bring deen in its true sense in our lives, we have got Jannat here already. And that Jannat, inshallah, will come. May Allah give us all.